Thank you, Steve. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke, the first chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. And we'll begin at the 26th verse. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou who art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed are you among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. And behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. And the angel departed. God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we would that you would take now this time, Father, that you would penetrate our hearts, that you would draw us closer to Jesus than we have ever been. Father, for those that are here that do not know you, that their eyes would be open and they would come to salvation. Father, for those that are hurting, that you would meet them at their point of hurt and let them know that you can handle their situation. Bless now, Father, this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you believe we're here? Can you believe that this is actually the Christmas season? Where did the year go? It is baffling to my mind. It seems that we were just doing this a few weeks ago, and now we're here again. Where did summer go? Where was August? September. Well, September runs into October. October runs into November. November runs into December, and December runs into money. And so here we are. Just 2 weeks and a day, and Christmas is upon us. As we know more of those who played that special role in the Christmas story, I believe God is going to unfold to us more and more of what Christmas truly is about, and we will experience more of that Christmas blessing. Those first to know, the first on the scene, the first to be informed were the shepherds. Nobody's. That God made somebody's tells us that God is willing to reach out to all of us, not just some of us. What a great thing to know. God came to town and he came to you. What a blessing to know. And then we talked of Joseph. Joseph, the protector of Jesus and Mary in his early years. And today, Mary. Now, there's a lot of confusion about Mary. You know of Mary. Some of you are named Mary. How many Marys do we have in the room? I'm not one. I'm just raising my hand to tell you to raise your hand. Oh, there has to be some. Yeah, there is one over there. And pretty much everywhere you will find someone named Mary. It is the most popular girl's name of all time. And there have been many that have thought many things about this Mary. Pope John Paul II asked a group of theologians to study Mary to consider her role in redemption. The suggestion to be considered was, should she be called co-redemptrix? In other words, should she be given the same standing as Jesus? Should she be looked at and worshiped as a Savior as Jesus is the Savior? Those 23 theologians studied that issue, and thankfully they decided that that should not be done. But that hasn't stopped a movement. You see, there's a movement to elevate Mary. There's a movement to make Mary the focal point. This movement doesn't come from God's Word. In 1981, when the Pope had an assassination attempt on his life, he credited Mary with his survival. Over 4.5 million individuals signed a petition to Rome to state and place Mary as the co-redemptrix. So what role does Mary play? Is she equal with Jesus? Is she on that standing of the one who will redeem us? The Catholic Church teaches that Mary did not die, that she ascended as Jesus ascended. Is Mary equal to Jesus? Or is Mary just blessed of the Lord, highly favored, especially used of God? Now, it really doesn't matter what men say, and it doesn't matter what people suppose. It matters what God says, and that's what we're going to look at. Let me first disclose, there are many people that go the other way. There are people that discount Mary. There are people that disrespect Mary. How can we disrespect the one woman of all women? Not the one woman at one time, but the one woman of all time that God chose to bear the Messiah. Mary is due respect. Her name appears 51 times in the New Testament. These verses tell us Mary's place in the Christmas story and how she regarded what God told her and how we should regard her. We see in this passage Mary's dilemma. A visit was made from an angel to Mary. Gabriel was sent by God directly to Nazareth on a special mission to talk with Mary, to get her on board, to tell her what was going to take place. Gabriel was getting around. Verse 26 says, and the angel came to Galilee, to the city of Nazareth. Now, of all the places for an angel to show up, Nazareth would not be on the top 10 list. You would think the angel would come to the major population area. Maybe the angel would come to Athens, where all the smart guys were hanging out. Maybe the angel would come to Rome, where all the politicians were. Maybe the angel would come to Jerusalem, the religious center. But this angel bypasses all those places and goes not to the seat of political power, but goes to a hillside, a small town off the road to Jerusalem, a small place that was respected by no one, a lowly place, Nazareth. God is in the business of taking the simple and making it sublime, of taking the natural and making it supernatural, of taking the common and making it conquering. This is why you need God's touch. This is why you need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You need God's work in your life so that you might be what God put you on this planet to be. No one cares what happened in this period of time in those big places. Nobody cares what happened in Athens or Rome or Jerusalem, but the whole world knows what happened in Nazareth. Verse 27, the angel was sent to the virgin, engaged to a man named Joseph, and her name was Mary. She is pointed out to be a virgin, sexually pure. She had made a conscious decision in her life not to have sexual relations prior to her marriage. She had made a determination. She had made a determination to be the person God wanted her to be. Today, people laugh at the thought of virginity. But it is important to God, and God wants you to remain in a pure state, and it should be important to you. Mary was not sinless, but Mary was pure in this part of her life. Some can't say that. Some haven't kept themselves in that place. I've got good news for you. The good news of Christmas is that you can ask God to come to forgive you because Jesus came in the first place to offer you forgiveness. God can forgive your sin. God can put it away. God can restore you. God can put you in a place where you can stand next to His holy, presence. Mary had not disqualified herself for this position. As you approach adulthood, young people, let me challenge you to make the decision that Mary made, that you are going to keep yourself pure till marriage. You're going to be the person God wants you to be, and you're not going to do anything to disqualify yourself for what God has in store for you. Verse 28, Hail Mary, you are highly favored. That word favored means pursued by grace. She did not bestow grace. She was the object of grace. She did not manufacture grace. She received grace. Mercy is the other side of grace. Now, grace is when you receive something that you don't deserve. Mercy is when you don't get what you do deserve. May I tell you before God and everybody, I want mercy. I don't want what my sinful life deserves. I want what God can do for me in forgiving me and what God can do. I want God not giving me what I deserve, but working in my life and blessing my life and using my life even though I don't deserve it. Mary is pursued by grace. Titus 2:11 says, The grace of God which brings salvation has appeared unto all men. God is pursuing you by His grace. God is trying to reach out to you. God is trying to minister to you. God is trying to meet you at your greatest need through His grace. Verse 28 says, You are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. He doesn't say above women. He says among women. She has been chosen by God. She has kept herself clean so that she has not disqualified herself for the task. And she is going to fulfill the purpose. May I tell you the greatest thing you can do is fulfill the purpose God has placed you on this planet to fulfill. To do God's will and to follow His purpose. The angel said in verse 30, Fear not, Mary, you have found favor with God. Now, God tells Mary, do not fear. God tells Joseph, do not fear. God tells the shepherds, do not fear. God is constantly telling us, do not be afraid, do not worry. The joy and blessings that come at Christmas, the fact that Jesus came can bring peace to your heart and can drive the fears away. If you'll decide just simply to put your trust in Jesus, the fears can be conquered in your life. Fear not, you have found favor. She didn't bestow favor, she found favor. She didn't give grace, she got grace. Mary was probably in her teens, just a teenager. She was a star for the Lord, a life dedicated to God's purpose. Now, I don't care what age you're at, That's what you need to be. You need to be dedicated to God's purpose. You need to put your focus on whatever God wants for your life. Mary had been chosen by God to give birth to this very special child. Verse 31, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Here is Mary's dilemma. Mary learns that the child will be the Redeemer, the Messiah. Every Jewish girl at that time prayed that their child would be the Messiah. Mary possibly had made that her prayer, and now that prayer is being answered. This is the first time the name Jesus is used in the Christmas story. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his lovely name. And that's the reason why I love him so. For Jesus is the sweetest name I know. That name came to Mary, and she held that name in her heart. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Listen, whoever will call upon the name of Jesus can be saved. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how your life has been. I don't care what mess you've gotten into. I don't care how dark it may seem. I don't care what judgment people may put upon you. Jesus can forgive and save you. And that is a message that the world needs to hear. There is salvation nowhere else except in the name of Jesus. If you don't know him, I hope you'll receive him today. The Bible says he will save to the uttermost those that come to God by him. His name, Mary, will be Jesus. That's his name, but there's more. He shall be great. Jesus is great. He saw the blind, made them see. He saw the lame, made them walk. He saw the deaf, made them hear. He saw the dead and made them alive. This is Jesus. This is the power of our great God. He saw a poor, lost sinner like me and made me forgiven. Jesus is the most famous name in all the earth. And there's more. In verse 32, he shall be called Son of the Highest. No one else can take that name. He is the Son of God. He is not a Son of God. He is the Son of God. He is Almighty God incarnate. He is God become flesh. Jesus will be the Savior. Mary is not. Look at Mary's prayer in verse 46 through 47. My soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Mary, this young girl, knew she needed a Savior. She was not the Savior. She had to have a Savior. Listen, I don't care what you've done. I don't care how good you think you are. You need a Savior. Can you say, as Mary did, God is my Savior? Mary's child will be the Redeemer, but he's also going to be the ruler. In verse 32, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. God has determined Jesus will one day sit on the throne of all the universe. He will reign. This world belongs to Jesus. Verse 33, there will be no end to his throne. He is the Redeemer, yes. He is the ruler, yes. Mary's child is the King of Kings, is the Lord of Lords. And the angel has told Mary she's going to have a child. Mary will have a child, but Mary is a virgin. And so Mary asks questions about the possibility of the virgin birth. How can this be, seeing I know not a man? That's a dilemma. She's never heard of anything like this. No one has ever heard of anything like this, except those, of course, who have studied the Old Testament. Then we see Mary's delivery. In verse 34, it says, "How can this be, seeing I know not a man?" By the way, she's not saying it's impossible. She's saying, "Can this be?" That's not what she's saying. She's saying, "How can it be? How can this take place?" She's saying, "This is not my understanding of biology." Verse 35, "This is going to be a miracle. The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you." Mary, you are going to be part of a miracle. Remember, this is Dr. Luke talking. And Dr. Luke knows more about the human anatomy than most people do, and how things work than most people do. And so he is giving more detail than the others give. Jesus had to have a virgin birth. Now, there are those today that say that that doesn't matter. Let me tell you, the Bible says it does matter. Dr. James Kennedy studied this and was perplexed by people saying it doesn't make a difference. This is what he said. "One day, I decided to consider how much of a difference it does make, that is, that Jesus be born of a virgin. First, if Jesus were not born of a virgin, the New Testament narratives are proved to be untrue and unreliable. In other words, we can just throw the Bible away. Mary is stained with the sin of unchastity. Jesus was mistaken about his paternity. Christ was not born of the seed of a woman and is not the fulfillment of the ancient prescription of the gospel. Jesus is therefore an illegitimate child. He is consequentially then not the God-man or the Redeemer. We have then no Savior at all. We are yet in our sins without forgiveness. We have no hope after death. There is no mediator between God and man. If there is no second person, there can be no Trinity. Christ should have prayed, 'Father, forgive us,' not 'Father, forgive them.' If this miracle is denied, then why not deny them all?" My friend, this miracle cannot be denied because it's truth. And God reveals this truth in His Word. The same Spirit that touched the earth brought forth beauty, touched the womb of Mary and brought forth deity. This is a miracle, yes. It is a moral miracle. In verse 34, "That holy thing that is born of you." Now, we love babies. We are thrilled when new babies come into our church, and new babies are all cute. They're all beautiful. They're all the most lovely thing we have ever seen. And we're going to say that, whether it's true or not. And, you know, we're going to be thrilled about babies. But while babies are a cute thing, they are not a holy thing. In the middle of the night, they may let out a very unholy cry. But they are not a holy thing. Jesus is holy. He is holy from birth. He did not come into this world with a sin nature. He came into this world holy. Jesus, a tiny baby, all-knowing, all-powerful, and yet, all-human. Mary had a dilemma. God would take care of that and provide for a miraculous delivery. For with God, verse 37, nothing shall be impossible. Now, may I tell you, friend, I don't know what you are facing. I know what God has challenged us to do. and we need to stand for the Lord. We need to stand firm with God. We need to stand in prayer. We need to stand in faith. And let me tell you this about whatever you face. God will never command you to do anything that he will not give you the power to do. You need proof for that? Look at Mary. God told her to do what was absolutely impossible, what was absolutely unthinkable. But with God's power, it took place. And so what we need here is Mary's dedication. Mary could have said, this is just too much. After all, for most teenage girls, this would be too much. I can't imagine being asked what she was asked to do. Here she is, just a young girl. She's asked to understand that she would receive the Christ child, that she would have to tell her engaged, her fiancé, that she was with child and the child was not his and the child came from God. It's a lot to ask. What are you going to do, Mary? In verse 38, be it unto me according to your word. Mary committed herself to God's will, to God's purpose for her life. She would do what God wanted her to do. May I say, if you want to know how to think of Mary, think of her as someone who trusted God and followed him. And that's exactly who we should be. We should be people who would trust in God and follow him. And it says, then the angel departed from her. Well, what did the angel do? Well, the angel went back to heaven and said, she said, yes! And all of heaven said, yes! And the Father said, Christmas is coming. And God would come to this earth, to a lowly manger, to live a perfect life, to lay down his life on a cross, because you and I are sinners and we've got to have a Savior, just like Mary had to have one. Had Mary not been willing, Jesus could not have been the Messiah. We owe a debt of thanks to Mary. But we owe surrender to Jesus. And if you have never invited Jesus to be your Savior, may I encourage you to surrender to him today. Just walk down an aisle and just say, I want Jesus. We will pray with you. Jesus will come into your heart. And a Christmas miracle will be real to you. Perhaps you're a believer and you've gotten away from the Lord. This is the day to come back. Perhaps you're struggling. Listen, the God that can visit this earth through a virgin birth and yet loves you enough to take that same life and hang it on a cross, and then has power to come out of the tomb, can meet you at your problem and bring you through. You just have to trust him. Would you stand with me for prayer? Father, we ask now that you would move within our hearts, that you would draw us to decisions that we need to make. Father, for those that are here that do not know you, that they would come to know you. Father, for believers that have gotten away from you, that they would come back to you. Father, for those that just need your touch. Father, for those that just need to know you care. I pray that they would come, Father, surrendering to you. And Father, you would meet them at their need. Father, touch us now. Draw us close to Jesus. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing, would you come?
Come every soul by sin oppressed, There's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. For Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you.